Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, Thursday night crowd, how are we doing? Welcome to the Tickle Pit. We are doing the final night of Just for Funny for the Melbourne Fringe Festival. Please put your hands together and welcome me, because I'm already on the stage. Matt Harvey. It just feels weird not coming out to applause. As I was explaining before, there's normally a curtain. I assume one of the shows before us destroyed it. Monsters. Are we good? It's a Thursday night, it's late, and it's before a public holiday, so I expect varying levels of competency in mental faculties. Have we been hitting the drinks? Yes? No! Oh, you're such a respectful crowd. Oh, I'd have been drunk if I wasn't performing. What is stopping me is a bone-shakingly horrible performance under the influence about 4 years ago, where midway through my set, I just went, I don't know what comes next. I took a sip of my alcohol, which I had on stage, and pretended like I was thirsty, because alcohol's going to help, while I quickly went over everything that I could possibly have to say next, came to me, and then I explained to the audience that I had just briefly forgot, because I was drunk enough to be like, "Hey, isn't that funny?" That's what's stopping me. But it's good to see you all out, guys. It's been a really fun festival. Have you guys been seeing many shows? No. Mine. Champion. What a good man. No, it's seen a lot of really good things. I think you should, it's only a couple of days left, you should get out and see some stuff. And I'm going to run through, you guys aren't out drinking. Do you normally drink? Are we a drinking crowd? No? Yeah, there's a couple of drinkers down here, right? This is Australia, right? It's our national pastime. Come on, guys. Our first currency was rum, you know that, right? This is how we got by as a country. We're like, what do we have? Rum. It's worth as much as his rum. Oh, he's got more. He's a rich man. That's how it works. I personally, drinking is my main vice, right? It was leading somewhere. I wasn't just quizzing you about your drinking habits. I'm not just looking for a friend. It's just, although, you know, hit me up after the show. So drinking is definitely my main vice, I would say. I don't think I have a problem, but I'm definitely at the point where I need to start reconsidering some of the choices that I've made while under the influence. Like, for example, I have climbed into a car with a drunk driver because I did so many shots that I forgot that I was doing shots with the driver of the car. That's a problem. Like, bordering on a problem, right? We're landing in problem territory. And I don't think... I've blacked out on a couple of times. But I always wake up under a roof, right? And so that is why I haven't stopped. Because I feel like you can get under the roof. You know, you wake up, you turn off for a little bit, you wake up, roof above you. You're like, aha! I'm the king of drunk navigation! I made it again. Back to bed. And the holy trinity of the blackout, of the pass out, is that you get under a roof, get your pants off, and get your phone on the charger. You can do all three of these things, you cannot have done that much damage. Like, I'm not a doctor, but I will stand by that. That's from me to you. You can keep that advice. I'll tell your children. But I guess I can see what kind of crowd we've got in. I don't know who I'm making friends with later when things get lonely. So if I list off some vices, can I trust you to woo with me? Yes? Yeah? I can trust one. The rest of you, I don't know. We'll see. So we spoke a little bit about drinking, but just to ease us in, drinkers, woo! Good. What about smokers? Any smokers? One. Healthy crowd. Or... lying crowd who has no breath to express them. They were wooing, but we couldn't hear them. Man, if you're bailing on the smoking, I don't know how the rest of this list is going to go. Drugs. Woo! Come on, woo! You've taken some. Woo! There's one. Yeah, thank you. Me and you, we're going out partying later. Honest girl right in the front here. Fuck off, you don't do drugs. Whatever. You're all as deplorable as the rest of us. Fuck off. You know I'm not a cop, right? Like, this is not my way of catching you. This is not like the grand undercover sting. It's not like, get him into the comedy industry. We hear there's a lot of drugs. That, it doesn't work like that. Anyway, we'll move on. Move on. We're going. What about porn? Yeah. My enthusiastic friend up here. I actually had to pull him away from his phone earlier to get him onto the show. A couple of woos. All right, a couple of woos. That's good. It's probably one of the more honest responses that I've had, to be honest. People are usually quite shy about that one. So I applaud you. Not physically. Just meant up here. All right, let's go with a simple one. A really simple one. Chocolate? Yeah. Pretty much everyone, yeah. Boo. One boo from the worst person in the room. Everybody hates you now. You not watch Willy Wonka? Have you not seen The Magic of Chocolate? Yeah, good. Right, so I've got a nice cross-section of who I'm dealing with here. So, smoker. I'm sure the rest of you, and you can take this with you, I don't understand smoking as the choice, as the vice of choice, I guess. Because to me, it just strikes me as like the Panadol of the hard drugs, you know what I mean? Like, I'll talk you through it, the rest of you as well, not just you. It's not just for you. Stop listening. So the way I see people taking their Panadol is they're waking up, going through the day, whatever it is, feeling a bit shitty, headache, stomach, whatever. Take your Panadol. Brings back to status quo. Brings back to regular, right? That's how the Panadol works. See people taking their cigarettes the same way. Feeling a bit shitty during the day, a bit irritable, whatever. Take the cigarette, brings back the status quo. And that's it. That's all that it does. That's $25 a packet to feel how the rest of us feel all the time. I mean, I don't know, guys. I mean, if I'm paying money for something, right, the human experience, not something worth paying for. I can feel this shitty all the time for free. If I'm going to give someone money for a drug, I want it to either enhance or help me escape reality, right? I want to, like, you know, think about the way people take their other drugs. Ecstasy. People take ecstasy because they want to party. People drink alcohol because the crushing weight of existence is overwhelming. That's real, and that's why you didn't laugh. People take meth because they're tired of all these pesky teeth. And people take DMT because they heard that there was a chance that they might get to see God. People take Winfield Blues so they don't strangle their children while doing the laundry. Like, these experiences do not match up. You know what I mean? Just one of these is not like the others. And look, I don't think I'm better than you. I don't. Like, I know I'm sounding very preachy right now. I know who I am. I know I'm a pretty deplorable human being. I don't drive, right? So I have a lot of long train rides home, and as a result, sometimes I miss the train, so I have even longer walks home. So I've had a lot of time to get introspective. I've looked into the darkness that resides within. It's not pretty. I know, just for my own sake, that I'm not above giving a wristy to get a ride home, right? This is where I'm at. This is where I've arrived. It's good to know about yourself. And I guess that brings me to the moral of the set. If anyone has a spare seat, I could really use a ride home at the end of the show. Okay, that's fun. Let's warm you up a bit. Please welcome him to the front of the stage. I don't know how we did it. My co-host and good friend, Mr. Marty Atta. Mike. Classic physical comedy. For a podcast, it's great. It reads really well for the home audience. They love a bit of physical comedy.
What's up?
There it is. So, I'm going to assume some people don't know what they've come to see, and they've just sort of shown up randomly. So we'll talk you through the concept of the evening. It's a showcase, and it's going to go out as a podcast. Marty and I here have... we spend a lot of time on the open mic scene. We've seen a lot of really bad stand-up, and we've seen a lot of really good stand-up. So we've curated the people that we feel are top-notch stand-ups.
And who are available tonight.
Who are also available.
I was just testing the mic.
And we've brought them here tonight. Most of them throughout the run of the show have been doing festival shows. And so we've encouraged you to go see their shows. We will be giving away tickets to people who have shows. So you might win yourself a couple of tickets. Yay. There's really strong quality shows. Sorry, you don't have to cheer. it's like audio doesn't really work on a podcast. So don't worry about noise. Don't worry about it at all.
Feel no pressure.
Yeah, none at all.
Silence is awesome on a podcast.
But that's the nature of the show. So we've got a couple of people. They'll do some sets for you guys. We'll have some chats with them. And then at the end, we'll play a couple of fun games where you guys will get the chance to win a couple of tickets to shows. So.
And then Maddie's giving wristies later. So.
Only one?
What if a lot of people want to drive you home?
They can't all drive me home. I will eventually be there. I'll eventually arrive at home. But if I've got like three more shows in this festival, so that's three more wristies that I can give out.
Get in quick, guys. Get.
Form a short line. but, Marnie, you want to say anything? You want to speak?
Do I want to speak?
Do you want to speak? You can speak.
If you've not heard the podcast, generally we... play comedians audioly, but now
not a word.
Now you get to see
not
them.
A word.
And then we play the audioly, and then we critique them, and we're like, oh, that was all right. And now you get to do that to their faces.
Yeah, feel lordly mouths. And godlike with your ability to judge a bunch of comedians who are performing for free for you.
Like when me and Matt on the podcast play. Ones that we don't think are good, that has to stay inside. But now we can just
yeah. That we can impose that on you guys. each show has had a theme so far. Tonight's theme is Banned Books Week. I don't know if you've heard of Banned Books Week. It's an initiative that's running this week from until the 1st of October, where they're creating awareness about just the diversity in writing and the sort of... authors who have in the past been banned in certain countries, usually by governments, but also it's a fucking gold mine of just ridiculous concepts. Because some of the reasons some of these books have been banned are amazing. All right, we'll have a bit of a chat about it before we bring up our first guest. So you want to fill while I find the pages?
Alrighty. if you haven't seen Maddie's solo show, he's got three left tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. But I'm going to pump you up because you can't pump yourself up as good as I can because it would sound wanky.
That's why we're a duo. Someone's got to pump up the other.
But it's a really good show, really worth it. It's here. It's at 6.
6 o'clock?
It's at 6 for the next 3 days. Really worth a gander. So bring lots of geese with you. And give them to Matt, and he will give them wristies. Is that good? Is that good, Phil? Is that good, Phil?
And do animals.
Marty Phil. No, he just went on about giving geese
do
wristies.
Animals. all right. So, a more recent example, the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy was banned in Malaysia for, what do we got here? Sadistic material... and threats to morality. Those were the government official statements. I think it was just an offense to good taste, to be honest. I don't blame them for blocking it. I'm like, no.
The book or the movie?
The books. There's okay. Books. A banned okay. Books week?
Well, I'd say the movie was probably blocked there.
Probably, yeah. Although I've been to Malaysia and I was in Kuala Lumpur and there was this, I think one of the best things I've ever seen was a secondhand bookshop that was just, there was a corner dedicated to romance novels, and the stack was taller than I am. So I don't know if any of these books are better than 50 Shades of Grey. They just don't have the reputation. Like Harlequin, they managed to sneak through the Malaysian government somehow. What else have we got?
They just heard that Don Johnson's daughter was going to be in it, and I went, that's not
unacceptable. We can't. Frankenstein was banned in apartheid South Africa. And
what was the... Why? Why?
Well, they weren't on board. They thought it was... obscure.
Look, they weren't on board with a lot of things, to be honest. They thought it was South Africa.
Obscure and indecent.
Wow.
Yeah, but to be honest, I've been thinking about this since we decided on this theme, and I'm pretty sure South Africa, like apartheid South Africa, are just afraid that they'd have like a black man's arm attached to them, and then they'd be like half and half. Like, so you guys are uncomfortable right now. You gotta think they were bad.
They're
people.
Like Frankenstein.
They were bad people. You can laugh
like
at them.
Frankenstein, green. That's closer to black than white.
Yeah.
It's getting into dangerous territory, is what we're saying.
Going down some terrible roads. All right, one more before we bring our guest up. Lolita? Lolita is famously banned.
Lolita.
Yeah, Lolita. Yeah. And there's a few countries that did it. The UK, Argentina, New Zealand, Canada, France, which...
What?
Yeah, that was my response.
Ban Lolita in France?
In France. France are... come on, guys. Get your shit together. B, one cultural stereotype. Are you really lusty or are you very prudish? I can't make a decision, guys. Pepe Le Pew would have been on board.
He would have been all about it.
He would have loved it. Okay. I feel like I've thoroughly pulled you back from the warmth that I brought on when I did some stand-up earlier. So we're in a nice middle ground for our
Let's
first...
Let's see what these comics have got then, shall we? Can they lift this dead room? It's all right to give them a nice, laughable room.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like a nice warmth, like a little bit happy and a little bit sad is appropriate for our first guest.
Okay. It's because he's a little...
Our first guest is doing a fantastic show called Bipolar Bear at the Courthouse. In at 6 o'clock as well, so we're direct competitors, but I'm being nice to him, so you should be nice to him too. So please welcome to the stage, Mr. Ryan Smith.
Woo!
Need a mic. Yeah, I don't usually perform with a microphone, so I don't know how this is going to go. I'm Ryan Smith, and I was available tonight. So my show is called Bipolar Bear, and I normally do the thing, normally do the show in a full bear costume, and it's makes much more sense then. But we'll just give it a crack and use your imaginations. It's a podcast. As far as I know, I am in a bear costume. Okay, so hi, my name is Terry. I'm a grizzly bear. I live in Brunswick. And I have bipolar disorder. Thank you. I'd just like to start by clearing up a few things. I am a grizzly bear, not a polar bear. If I was, then I would be a bipolar polar bear. And I'm not a bisexual polar bear, because then I'd be a bye-bye polar polar bear. Could you imagine saying goodbye to me? I'd be like, see you later, and you'd be like, bye-bye, bye-bye polar bear, which would be the name of my autobiography, which would be Bye-Bye, Bye-Bye Polar Bear by Terry, the Bye-Bye Polar Polar Bear. I forgot where I'm going with this. I guess my story starts with my girlfriend, Megan. We met on eHarmony, and she had those big, beautiful eyes, you know, sort of like a cow's eyes, but not in a bad way, you know, sort of like a sexy cow. I'm not explaining this well. And she had those beautiful golden curls, and people would call us Goldilocks and Papa Bear, which she would then explain is racially offensive. That's just the kind of girl she was, you know, one of those humanitarian liberationist, save the whale, eat the kale kind of girls, which a lot of people would have found irritating, but I just kind of found that passion invigorating, I guess. Anyway, she only had one flaw as far as I can tell, which is that she was a vegan. Nothing against vegans, you know, Fringe Festival, love all the people, etc., etc., but if I wanted to be with her, then I had to be a vegan as well. And as any budding ursinologist will tell you, we bears live off the three Bs, right? Beef, berries, backpackers. And I can't live off berries alone, all right? But I loved her, so we gave it a go. Do you know how many restaurants in Melbourne serve vegan cuisine? Do you know how many restaurants in Melbourne serve vegan cuisine and grizzly bears? You can count the number of places on one paw, you know. I tried to take her to a veggie bar on Brunswick Street, and we walk in, and all there is screaming and crying and tofu and hipster glasses flying everywhere. We went to Lentil as Anything in Abbotsford, though. Has anyone been there? It's great, all those, you know, hippies and love all the people, and usually I wasn't the hairiest person there. You remembered I was a bear. Well done. You're doing well. Thank God I didn't want to get back in the suit. Anyway, professional. But I loved her, so I did the best that I could. And things were going well, at least I thought they were. About 3 months in, I got a text message from her saying, "I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore." 7 words, that was it. And I found out later that she'd left me for a panda bear. You know, I didn't stand a chance, her being, you know, a liberationist and him being black, white, and Asian, and a bear, and endangered. All that sexy diversity. Anyway, I couldn't cope. So, for 2 days, I didn't eat. I barely slept, and I had this kind of abusive voice that kept running through my head, you know? Sort of like, I was so angry, but I was angry with myself more than I was for her for being so upset, you know. Come on, there are bears all over the world and they're starving and they're dying of disease and they can cope, why can't you? Because you're useless, you're worthless. And then the voices just stopped and that was worse. There was just silence and numbness. And that's when I decided to do it. So a bit of backstory. I used to have this cousin named Abner. And he was the world's first bear scientist. And he developed this science called digestology, which is basically put it in your mouth, swallow it, and if it doesn't kill you, it's edible. He only ever made one discovery. This really poisonous kind of berry. So there I stood in the middle of the forest with Abner's berries, and mechanically and without thought, I swallowed them. It was 2 minutes of intense pain and then darkness. Uh-oh, we got a little bit dark, didn't we? So much for a comedy podcast. Oh dear, funny grizzly bear, not so much. Next I'll be telling you like a big Ted from Play School is a heroin addict or something like that. Not that it would surprise me, lucrative career in television and all that, but yeah. Anyway, it's not funny, but it's true. Sorry. And I turned out all right, didn't I? I mean, I'm still here to tell the story. But anyway, the next day, I woke up in the middle of the forest, splitting headache, dry mouth, drenched in my own urine. At least I think it was mine. I didn't get it tested or anything like that. I'd been unconscious a while. And I just cried. I couldn't even kill myself properly. When this rabbit heard me. How am I going to do this with a microphone? And he is still, to this day, one of the sweetest, kindest, gentlest souls I've ever met. Okay. G'day, mate. That's not going to work. G'day, mate. Are you all right? I didn't think that through. You get kind of caught up in the reality. Best thing is people at home are going to love that joke. What happened? Anyway, yeah, suicide. Oh, shit. G'day, mate. Are you all right? I'm fine. No, not what happened. Rough night? Yeah, well, something like that. Go on. Tell us what happened. So I did. Told my life story to this complete stranger. And he didn't judge. He didn't interrupt. He just listened. And after a while, we were silent. And then he spoke. Geez, mate, you've had a hard couple of months, but do you think you might need to see a doctor? Piss off. What? I'm not crazy. I didn't say you were crazy. I said you were sick. Yeah, well, it's not as bad as that. My girlfriend did just break up with me. Yeah, I know, mate, but, like, I've had hundreds of breakups, thousands of breakups. You know, us rabbits, we mate like,
well, we mate a lot, but I've never done what you did.
It's not as serious as that, all right?
Look, just see a doctor, okay? And if there's nothing wrong, that's great, but do it for my peace of mind, okay?
Okay.
That rabbit probably saved my life. Sometimes I feel bad that I ate him. Don't look at me like that. He had those thick, juicy back legs that only a spiritual guide can have. Besides, I'd just given up veganism, I can tell you that right now. All right, that'll do. How's that? Thank you. Cool. Now what do I do? That's great. I'm so glad Matt explained at the start of the show what's happening, because I have no idea.
That's okay. No one really does. It's a big existential thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on either. Ryan Smith, ladies and gentlemen, doing a beautiful rendition of some of his show. How many more nights are you on?
Let's go down that. 3 more nights. The Courthouse at 6 o'clock. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, isn't it?
What day is it? Where indeed. Am I? Yeah.
So I have seen the show. I would highly recommend it. It's a very beautiful rendition of struggles and reality, and as you've witnessed, quite funny for its subject material. I cannot recommend it highly enough. We were talking earlier about the possibility of you running it again, but I wouldn't say that should stop you from seeing it, because
we're not sure yet.
Yeah, there's no commitment at this point. I don't know how deep do you want to dive into this? Like,
let's do it.
All
let's
right,
do it. I got nothing left.
You got let's put it all on the stage. Or put it all into a bear suit, I guess.
Yeah.
Left it there with sweat and tears.
So much sweat.
So this is at least semi-autobiographical?
Semi-autobiographical. A lot of people, like, as you just saw, we kind of start with the suicide, and so many people are like, why didn't you call me? And I go, because it never happened. So it's sort of 40 to 50%, I think. A lot of it was, it started off being my story, and then that was too hard.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Funnily enough, where the bear came from, because it's so much easier to do that in a bear costume. But the idea started 2 or 3 years ago. I'm not actually bipolar either. I'm just chronic depression, and that was another step we took away. And I wanted to look at another illness to what I had. But I went and saw a piece of theatre 3 years ago that was absolutely terrifying. Just after I'd got diagnosed.
Yep.
And I left thinking, that's it. That's a death sentence. And 2 or 3 years later, I still get angry because it wasn't. And I wanted to kind of do a show that goes, you can live with this. You know, it's awful. It's fucking awful. But you can live with it. And what's more, you can even treat it with a little bit of humor.
Yes,
and I
course.
Guess that's kind of where it came from.
I think that's part of the joy of comedy. And I think it's part of what draws certain comedians into it, is that they have a method of expression that really allows them to touch on delicate and tough subjects. Another comedian in this festival, Laura Davis, does fantastic work in this regard. 2 years ago, she did a show called Pillow of Strength. That's Pillow of Strength, which was all about an abusive relationship that she'd survived. And so she takes the audience through that journey and effectively creates an abusive relationship with the audience. And it was an amazing thing to go through, yeah. It was quite confronting and very funny, because she handles the subject material with the gravitas that it needs, but the lightness of touch of someone who's gone through it, come out the other side and can see the absurdity and just wants someone to understand.
And another big part of it, like, to look at Adam Hills.
Yes.
He was talking about why he talks about ISIS so much, and his mother keeps telling him not to do it. And he was actually told that if you can sort of laugh at something that's scary, it makes it less scary. And
that's kind of
the way we approach this as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it's a method of approaching material that I quite like and I quite actually admire. I don't think I quite have the strength to do it yet, the talent yet.
Stop it.
I touch on, like, things in my own show, but I don't think I could... aside from not having the struggle that you've got. Like that, I think that's an important one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a wonderful piece of theatre that you put together.
Thank you.
Beautifully comedic. Ryan Smith.
Thanks Woo! Very much, guys.
So, you can take a seat.
Okay, we're going to keep rolling along with our second guest. I'm not sure that it'll be quite as poignant, but he's definitely going to make you laugh. So, I've seen this man perform a few times now, and he never fails to impress me. It's just a beautiful, quirky sense of material and a way of looking at things. He was doing a show in the festival, which has unfortunately been cancelled, so you can enjoy him here and some of the things he might have done. Please welcome to stage Mr. Sean Morgan.
Thank you very much, Matt. Cool, let's do this. That doesn't come anywhere near. I can perform in the corner. That's but I'm attached to this one now. Hello, everyone. A quirky sense of humor and approach to material means poetry. Well, it's not a quirky or original approach for Keats or any poet, really, is it? Oh, thank you, thank you. Cheers. But the problem is, like, there's a lot of pressure on me. This is a podcast. This is a permanent recording of what I say to you. I do some shit gigs. That's good for me, right? But the pressure I've got is I've got a great new poem. Like, it's good. Don't worry. Real good. But I'm just worried that I'm going to read it on this podcast and no one's going to laugh.
She's the most committed audience member so far. Definitely get on board.
Are you sure? I was already reaching for it. You're on top of that. You've got, well, there we are, that one's on as well. So you've got three microphones.
Four.
Does not work sometimes. For the sake of the podcast, I've been muttering into a microphone that occasionally works. Sorry, what's your name? Corinne? Look. It's probably me just panicking myself, right? But just in case no one laughs, do you reckon at a certain point, like you'll be laughing anyway, it's funny, right? But just in case, could you laugh for me? Yeah, and then, cheers. But then just so everyone else knows, when Corinne laughs, like that's the funny bit, right? So you're welcome to join in. Right?
All right.
So, Kieran, I'm going to pass you this microphone. And look, just so you know when to join in. Huh? It's going to be funny. Okay? Like, it's. I'll give you a cue if you need it, but it's just. It'll be funny, right? No, the cue is the joke.
Get that wrong every time.
Yeah. So, Kieran. But just so we know Kieran's laugh, could you laugh into the microphone? Just so we all know what it sounds like. And that's great. That's exactly what you got, like a schoolgirl, you say. Wait, you got a career in acting ahead of you, you know? You got a line. All right, so I'll leave this with you, Kieran.
You've got to fill the blank space. You can keep it just close enough that it'll be an enhanced laugh. You don't have to have it here. Just... Yeah, you guys can laugh as a team.
Though the closer to your mouth it is, the better it will sound on the podcast.
Or the more deaf our audience are going to be.
Yeah. Well, if they're going deaf through me, it's fine.
All right, cool.
It's fine. Thank you, Ryan. All right, so I'll go with this. You'll know when the funny bit is.
I hope so.
That's all right. You guys can join in as well. So it's called Guilty. Timothy felt guilty. So it's not yet. So I'll go from the top. Timothy felt guilty. Like a chess player. And that's, if you could laugh there, Kieran. That's the. So, that's right, I'll go from the top.
Start again.
So that's the funny bit, right?
Yeah, got
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
I think so too.
Timothy felt guilty, like a chess player. but if you join in not sarcastically. It's fine. I'll go from the top.
Timothy
felt guilty, like a chess player. And you join in as well, sir. Like, we all join in. Otherwise, this podcast's going to be shit, guys. you got to laugh as well.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. It's all right.
We got it.
At the funny bit, okay? Timothy felt guilty, like a chess player. except not like a chess player and more like a man who'd burnt his ex-wife's car. that's the kind of poetry I do, really.
Brilliant work.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Kieran, by the way.
We should probably...
Let's take the microphone back. Yeah, so how long are we doing this for? I've got basically too many of those poems. Like, just fucking loads. However many you want.
Marty, do you want to take that microphone?
All right, sweet. Keep going. All right, this goes back in the mic stand. For those at home, I just professionally put the microphone back into the stand with no issue. also for those at home, I put the mic stand into a stand called On Stage Stands, and I'm now putting it off stage.
That is comedic defiance. Is the
breaking the system.
The Joan of Arc of his time.
All right, this is a poem about death. Death is like a packet of crisps. For every crisp you eat, you feel you probably shouldn't. Just like for every dead person you eat, feel you probably shouldn't. Cheers. This is a poem about a person called Anthony, who is not me. Anthony lopped the top of his cock off. Now everything in his life was pointless. thank you. I'll leave you with this last poem. You've had too much red wine, Liz, said Peter. And Peter was right. She drowned. which is sad, but I don't really like that poem. I shouldn't end it because I don't like Peter. He comes across as a bit of a prick, you know? He's like, he's one of those guys telling women what to drink. It's hard. It's like, do you know that term now, mansplaining? Like, ladies, if you don't know what mansplaining means, it's when a man explains something to you. All right, sweet. What do you want to talk about?
Sean Morgan, ladies and gentlemen. I love your work. You amuse me greatly.
Lovely.
Well, I mean, we can talk about whatever you like. Oh, you don't want this one?
Just anything.
Very well.
No, there's too many mics.
Can we just criticize Michael Schaefer? Can we just... I feel like that'd be fun. I don't like the spotlight.
No? You want to promote anything? You've got your room that you run. You can promote
your
room.
I do. I can give away free tickets to a room that's free entry.
Not for everyone, obviously. Cause
no. Don't run yourself under. Just
for everyone. just
very generous man.
Anyone can come in. I can talk about anything, really, if you get me drunk enough. But,
sure. Now that is an offer that I can get down for. All right, let's just chat a little bit. How did you find your way into comedy? Let's do something really simple. How did you find your way into comedy?
No, fair enough. I read a lot of books, mm-hmm. not on comedy, on novels. I read novels.
You read books on novels?
Yeah.
Is that like a coffee table book about coffee tables?
It's actually one of those 1,000 books to read before you die. But it's 1,000 books.
Like, well, I read all of these. They're right here.
1,000 books about things that you should read before you die.
No, no. Okay. 1,000 books of the 1,000 book series that you should do before you... It's a hard anthology. But no, I read a lot of books and I was like, oh, I'd be sick to write a novel and I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, feel you.
And then I was like, oh, that's fine. I'll write poems.
They're like novels.
And I can't do that either. So now I just write 3 lines down, pretend it's a joke. And it's
so you're like everybody else in comedy then?
Yeah, yeah, just a little bit and do that.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's how I found my way into it.
So you didn't come from any sort of performance background? It was just the desire to write novels.
Yeah, I think so.
Seems like an obscure path.
Maybe, I don't know, is it?
I mean, I don't know that there is necessarily an obscure
path.
It's
the same way that musical comedians were like, oh, I can't be a rock star, I'm going to pretend I'm writing songs and make
But that's
fun.
Just regular comedians as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't be an actor.
Yeah, I can't be a productive member of society, I'll become a comedian.
Mm, right, yeah.
Here we are.
I fucked up my 20s.
Drew all these people in. Yeah, that's right.
That's an hour.
Yeah. That's your first. That's everyone's first hour. I fucked up my 20s.
Yeah, that seems about right. I'm a year in and I've got 10 minutes. So
you're on a good path there.
Thank you. I can cull 40 minutes when I get around to it. I'm sorted. But yeah, I did that. Did some sketch comedy at university because I wanted to do stand-up but no one would let me, so I did sketch comedy instead.
There was a bar on you, like the 50s? You're blacklisted.
Well, no, there was a comedy society and I was like, hey, can I do stand-up? And they're like, no, we're a comedy society. Don't do stand-up, you selfish prick.
You're like, can I do stand-up? And they're like, may you? And you're like, no, really, can I? Am I any good at all?
They're like, yes, and you can join our improv troupe.
They didn't even do improv.
Who wrote the sketches? Did you at least write the sketches?
I wrote some of the sketches, but none that ever got performed. I wrote sketch comedy.
You really are a comedian.
You didn't do the dick cutting off sketch? That's a great...
Oh, no.
They couldn't get the rights on the blood. And
my favourite sketch I ever wrote, and this will tell you how bad I was at writing sketches.
Excellent.
Was about somebody who was at a party, right? And they were about to do a Macarena, and everyone was doing the Macarena. But they couldn't... No, Macarena? The Congo line. They're doing a Congo line.
It's a completely different thing.
The Macarena of the 80s.
Yeah.
Just getting my 80s and 90s mixed up. But yeah, he wanted to join in, but he couldn't. And they asked him, why won't you join in? And this is the whole sketch. Was, I can't. I've got poisonous hands.
That's a good sketch.
No. Because I insisted we repeat that exchange of, why not? I've got poisonous hands. Why not? I've... 10 times.
As he went down the conga line?
No. Just same positions. Just repeated. For minutes. Oh. Was not allowed to perform it. I don't know why.
It's experimental. Yeah,
very much so.
You could have brought a new version of absurdist sketch comedy to your comedy troupe. You could have been like the... I don't know, the Van Gogh of your time of sketch comedy. Cut an ear off and be like, look at my sketch! Look at it!
Van Gogh didn't do that, though, did he? Like, he took off the ear, but then he wasn't like, look at my painting inspired by blood and ears. It was, look at my quite good painting.
Yeah, true.
My sketches have still got to be good.
No, you've just got to be dead.
It always pays off.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Sean Morgan.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
We do have one more guest this evening. And if you find yourself perusing the internet or Channel 31 at some point, you may see him hosting season 1 and 2 of The Leak. He gets around town a lot. He's been performing his show Jewish-ish in this comedy, this Fringe Festival, sorry, not Comedy Festival. So please welcome to the stage, Mr. Michael Schaefer.
I wish. That was fun. Yeah, there are too many microphones. That should be the name of the podcast. Too many microphones. It's weird. It's weird just having one. It's just weird having another one like across the stage. So it just looks like my double act didn't turn up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, fuck Gary again. Left it here. I don't know the lyrics. Fuck. Anyway, this is cool. Thank you so much for coming out and hanging out with us tonight and sitting in what are surely the most uncomfortable chairs ever invented. They all look like a medieval torture device, don't they? Do you know what I mean? Like, you could rock up to Guantanamo and be like, fuck, we can't do waterboarding anymore. We're just doing this shit now. To have all the names, have them all. It's fucking terrifying. No, thank you so much for coming out tonight. This is cool. Yeah, the show's called. I'm doing a show called Jewish-ish. It's finished, so you don't have to come. It was good. Anyway, because I'm not like a religious Jew, I'm culture Jewish because I'm pretty wealthy and I've got a diverse share portfolio. So I'm more culture Jewish than religious. But I'll tell you what, I want to tell you this little story that happened like last week. I went for lunch with my friend, and he's an Asian dude, and he took me to this Japanese place. And the waiter comes over, he's a Japanese guy, and before the waiter said anything, my friend goes to him, water, water. And then the waiter goes, water. And then walked off to get water. And I said to my friend, I was like, man, why are you being such a dick? Like, why do you just presume the guy doesn't speak English? And my friend goes, ugh, Asian people don't speak English. I'm like, fuck, you're proving yourself wrong right now. But anyway, but he went out to then take a phone call and the waiter came back and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry about my friend. He just doesn't understand. And the waiter goes, oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry, mate. It happens all the time. It's cool. Like, obviously, he spoke English. And then at the end of the meal, the waiter came back and he put the bill on the table. And he goes to my friend, Bill. Bill. And my friend goes, Bill. Bill. And I realized that that the waiter thought that my friend didn't speak English either. So they were just saying Bill to each other, and I could have said something, but I was having too much fun. So then we both put our credit cards on the table, and the waiter goes to my friend, split, split. And my friend didn't know what was happening, so he just stares blankly back, and the waiter goes to me, fuck, tell your mate that we're splitting the bill, all right? I go, and my friend's like, did you know he spoke English? I was like, oh, I just didn't think Asians spoke English, man. I had no idea. Fucking idiot. So shit. This is cool. I like this. It's fun. It's cool that you can do, like, I think you can do comedy and like anywhere. I went to a footy game a couple of weeks ago, and so Cyril Rioli plays for Hawthorn. He kicks a goal. Everyone cheers and goes nuts and having a great time. And then the cheering died down. And this guy from like two bays over just picked his moment, just waited for the silence, and then went, sizzle time at the G! And it was just the funniest thing that anyone had ever heard. Like, people are losing their minds at how funny this guy was. And I'm thinking, is this the best comedian in Australia? Because, like, when I've got a new joke to try, I'll come here and try it to a group of people. This guy just goes down to the MCG and just crushes to M24. Like, just, he must be famous. Incredible. Anyway, that's just a thing. I just thought it was funny. You guys are really nice. Oh, can I tell you about Jews? You guys know about my people? For the people listening at home, everyone just did the Heil Hitler salute. And, it has gotten very awkward here at Fancy Hanks. Must say. I'll tell you about my people. So Jews are great, but there's this group on Facebook called, this Jewish group on Facebook called JSafe, where like lots of Jews in Melbourne get together, and the whole point is to post safety updates for the Jewish community. And it started out as a nice idea, but it's just old Jews now just being racist, basically. That's all it is. It's just old Jews being like, there is a black man in Caulfield Park, and I think he's in the Apex gang. Don't worry, I've called the police. Like, it's just fucking the worst.
every, it's so bad. Anyway, so I had a lot of, I had a bit of free time the other week. So I went on Facebook and I made a new account under the name Moisha Hershkovitz, because I know my people. And I went on JSafe and I was like, we have to build a wall around Caulfield and get the Apex gang to pay for it. And all of these old Jews are like, fuck, that's a good idea. How do we get that set up? Anyway, look, it was a pretty slow day for me, I'll be honest. But I had fun. Anyway, so that's basically my people. Sometimes people get offended by shit that I say on stage. Like, I once did this impersonation of God, and afterwards this religious guy comes after me, and he's like, hey, I was very offended by that inaccurate impersonation of God. I was like, fuck, I'm so sorry. I just can't do a Morgan Freeman voice, mate. I just have no idea how to do it accurately. But like, it's weird what people, like, I just find it weird what people choose to find to be offensive. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know what's weird? Like, the boob is not offensive except for the nipple. The nipple is offensive and they can't show the nipple because that's the part that offends people. And it's weird how that's the only part of the boob that, that performs a function, but that's the part we find offensive. Do you know what I mean? That's like if you turn on the TV and you see they're selling a vacuum cleaner but they blurt out the nozzle. Do you know what I mean? They're like, we can't show you the nozzle. How the fuck is the bowling ball staying in the air? This is fucked. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's a guy like vacuuming a carpet being like, you can't do that in public. It's disgusting. It's not natural. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, I'm trying to make a joke about breastfeeding, but I don't know how to do it correctly. It was a breastfeeding joke, but it's not a good enough joke yet. Anyway, but I'm doing it on the podcast because fuck. How long am I meant to talk for? This is good. I've done 6 minutes. Okay. Do you know what's good? Oh, this is so good. Okay, so I record all my gigs. This is funny, because I record all my gigs, and I'm accidentally recording over the gig I did earlier tonight. And the good thing is that I bombed for 10 minutes earlier tonight. So I'm so happy how that worked out. Anyway, that's a peek behind the curtain. You didn't need to hear that. Okay, can I try this joke? I'll see if it's funny. Okay, so I don't like anti-Semitism, breaking down boundaries, and don't like anti-Semitism, but I don't like the word anti-Semitism. That's what annoys me, because there's Islamophobia, and there's homophobia, and then there's just anti-Semitism. Why aren't you scared of us? This is bullshit. Like, why is there no Jewophobia? Fucking hell, that's so unfair. Like, I blame Fiddler on the Roof. That's what I blame. No one's scared of the Jews after Fiddler on the Roof. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, we'll come to your house, play violin on your chimney. Whoa, what are we going to do? Like, what are you, like, fucking possums? What the fuck is Fiddler on the Roof doing for the Jews? It's destroying us. Anyway, I think that was all I wanted to talk about. Is that okay? Thank you so much. You guys have been very nice.
Michael Schaefer, ladies and gentlemen. Having finished his show, he has come down to do a spot for us. Whoop, there it goes.
Sorry.
Do you think, just out of curiosity, because we can chat about the show if you like, or we can chat about anything you like.
No, I don't want to talk about the show. It's done.
It's finished.
It's in the past. I've moved on.
Yeah. Excellent. No.
Yeah,
all
we
right.
can talk about the show if you want.
No, no, it's fine. If you're beyond it, that's perfectly fine. I understand. I've done shows like that too, where
I'm too good for my own show.
I'm done with you.
That was so last week.
But you did create and host a TV show called The Leak, which people can still see. It's on YouTube.
It's on the YouTube. Yeah, you can check it out. It was on Channel 31, mm-hmm. So you all saw it.
Yeah, like, don't pretend like you didn't.
A huge viewership of, I think, maybe tens of people. I don't know what the numbers are exactly, but
you're competing with our audience.
Yeah, the same that listen to this.
This could be all of the people who watched. Really. Actually, it's good to have you all in one room. Thank you for coming.
We did gather
out.
Them just so you would feel comfortable.
I don't know how you found
faces and laughs.
Obviously, a few of you haven't seen The Leak, but but we padded it out. No, that's cool. Thank you. No, it's a good show. They're doing it again end of the year.
Yeah, but I'm going to be one more season.
Yeah, I'm going to be overseas.
You're going to be away, yeah. That's
so they're
right.
They're looking for another Jew to
host. Specifically, they put
specifically,
a call out.
Well, we didn't want to change the format too much, so we just called up, I don't know, Solomon Liu, and so is he busy? That was the first Jew that came to my head, which is weird. I could have said any of my family members, but Solomon Liu was the one that popped into my head.
Solomon Liu.
No, the first name that popped into my head was Mel Gibson, and that's like the opposite of a Jew. Yeah. So that's... I'm glad I didn't say Mel Gibson. How weird would that be? You turn into the leak and you're like, fuck, Schaefer's gotten very anti-Semitic over the past 3 months. And
quite
very
and
drunk. Much drunker than I remember him
to
be.
Referring to Jacqueline as sugar tits. It's really, what's going on there?
Keep says the Jews run Hollywood. Anyway, things have changed with this show.
The Jews run C31.
Yeah.
C31. Yeah. We've got our tentacles everywhere now.
We've
been going
down
to community television. We've got the Oscars and the leak. That's what we've got. That's what we're on.
Oscars is a good get, though.
Yeah, a good get. Yeah.
Someone worked hard.
We've had that one for a while.
Oh no, just a bunch of guys called Oscar.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yep. That died in the way it should have.
Yeah,
by me getting involved.
No, this has been fantastic and it's been good chatting with you. Don't leave the stage. We're going to do the final component of it because we're running out of time.
Ah,
cool. So we'll do a few quick games. So... we mentioned earlier that the theme for tonight is Banned Books Week. So if we go get Ryan and Sean back on stage. And we have an appropriate amount of microphones now.
Sorry, what's the theme?
So, Banned Books Week.
Banned Books
it
Week.
It is Banned Books Week this week, all the way up until the 1st of October.
Okay.
It's a diversity thing. It's just creating awareness of diversity in writing and authors who have been banned in the past.
Oh, sweet.
And there's a lot of obscure books that have been banned. We talked about this earlier when you were your other gig.
There was some facts.
What are some books that have been banned? All I would know is like the Salman Rushdie one.
Yeah, Salman Rushdie.
I feel like he must
list.
Be the poster boy
for
banned books.
Yeah,
I feel like that fuck one
out,
is one of the best things that ever happened
every,
to his profile.
Gives like the headlining talk.
You know, they'd say fuck was not a good thing, but they're fucking good for your profile. Can't I say Salman Rushdie? He's made a career out of that.
Well,
one
you could say he's blowing up, right? Yeah, if you wanted to go down
there
that
you
road.
Go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that's twice I've made the crowd uncomfortable. Oh, well, twice that they've expressed their distaste. So I scoured as many lists as I could find of banned books and the reasons that they were banned. So I've come up with a couple of obscure ones and a couple of well-known books that were banned for dumb reasons. So like Where the Wild Things Are. We all know Where the Wild Things Are.
What was that banned for?
Banned very briefly because...
Bestiality?
that's where the wild things go afterwards.
Well, the wild things, like, you cannot tell people where we are.
Yeah, you cannot let anyone know where we are. It was banned because people thought that... because Max loses his temper. It was seen to be glorifying the temper tantrum. Right? Yes, that's the right response. So there was a very brief moment where people were like, oh, it's encouraging poor behavior in children, right? Because of his temper tantrum. So
I agree, cool. Children shouldn't have emotions. So.
They should just sit in the corner. So I'm going to put a minute on the clock here, and I want to give you guys, the question I've got for you is, because society's changed a little, what would Max have to do to get his book banned in modern world? So, minute on the clock. Go.
Go to paleo diet, I reckon.
Sorry?
Go to the paleo diet.
Boom,
just support
boom,
that one.
Point. Go. Yeah. Anything.
Live under
just
the stairs and then be taught wizardry.
Legitimately would get his book banned, yes. As it did with Harry Potter.
It's not funny.
Anything
it's
else?
Just a fact.
Got a few of those.
I don't know. What do people get offended by these days? Buddy, it's buddy PC correctness gone mad. That's what.
You'd have to be overly PC, is what you're saying. If he was very polite. They have fur, so that covers the nipples. If Max got his nipple out, though, banned.
We can't let the children see the nipple.
Anyone else got one?
Which isn't good because some of those wild things have like 8 of them.
Yeah, yeah. You got to really cover up all those nipples.
I'm still not funny, but it is facts.
Just turns into very blurry sketching on the side of the page.
Full disclosure, I don't know what the where the wild things are is.
That's amazing.
I didn't know who the other guy was.
Salman Rushdie.
Yeah, I've no idea who Rushdie is.
Not worth it. Don't look it up.
It's all right. Well, yeah.
I didn't know that there was like I didn't know that there was reading before the gig. Yeah.
There is not. We did not come prepared. It's fine.
I'm sorry.
It's like that dream where you don't have the pants. is that just me? Yeah. All right. What else we got? So the dictionary was banned in California in 2010. Yeah, right? It does.
There are too many dicks in the dictionary. Yeah. It's disgusting.
For giving the definition of oral sex.
Just for giving it.
For giving it, which is its job. Let's not forget, that's its job.
It was giving oral sex. Yeah. No wonder they banned it.
In the library.
Macquarie.
Was it just which was it just like Macquarie or was it all of them? Was it Oxford as well?
Well, it was just like they just
Oxford would have tapped.
Yeah. Well, whichever one's had the definition of oral sex, they're just like, nope. Get those out of here. And it was just in California.
Because if it was Oxford, you know that Cambridge called up and was like, yeah, what's
we've
the
got
Oxford
a dictionary too, you know.
Like, it's Cambridge again.
Cambridge House. Webster's? What you talking about? Yeah. So I just want a definition that would get the dictionary banned, like something else. Give me a word that would get dictionary banned. We're gonna meet on the clock.
What are you doing?
Go, because it's fun. These guys are leaving. Bye bye.
I think a definition of the dictionary within a dictionary would get a dictionary banned.
Wonderful.
You'd fall into a kind of existential trap where you'd see the difference between two definitions of dictionary.
Right,
and think
like
there's
a mirror
no,
against a mirror?
Yeah, there's no real truth in the world, and you'd give up.
It should just say this.
Just be on the title, dictionary. That's one done on page one.
And then you go to the wood definition of this, and it just says that.
It's like when you go to see redundant, and it just says see redundant. I got a laugh! Thank God! I was about to retire.
Anything else before we run out? We got about 10 seconds. Anyone else got a definition that might get...
Pumpernickel. I don't know what that is.
You know what pumpernickel is? It just makes you angry, right? Look, that's fair. And we'll call that time. Great. We'll do one more. And this one's my favorite one. So Where's Wally, the original Where's Wally, or Where's Waldo, because it was in the States, was banned very briefly. Because if you remember the original Where's Wally, it's got a beach scene. And in that beach scene, there's a woman doing sunbathing, and some pervert has gone and looked too hard for Wally and found some side boob. And Wally got... In illustration.
Is Wally popping out of the fire?
That's what Wally was looking for. And that got Where's Wally banned for a while, for a good while.
Is that because it was too hard to find Wally?
Because we were distracted by the side boob.
I don't care about where the fuck Wally is. I found a bit of side boob over here.
So I just want to, in a minute, how many other things have people missed in Where's Wally? Yeah, but just what other kind of things would people find? Go.
Pretty sure there's an Illuminati symbol in every picture.
Every page. Closely yep. Enough. Good. Great. Keep going.
I think a lot of people have missed their lives.
Can't find it in there anywhere. No. Looking for a career, looking for a wife. None of them are in there.
No. Lost at least a year of primary school.
I think Solomon Liu is in every word.
He's at a pentagram angle towards the Illuminati sign.
And Mel Gibson is inside the Illuminati.
He's the eye. Yeah. Just watching.
He's the eye.
Great. Anyone else?
I peeked at the dictionary.
Didn't we all? I don't even know what that means.
Who's that fuckhead in the Where's Wally who the villain, you know,
Odlaw. Yeah.
What's his name? Odlaw.
It's Odlaw because it's Waldo backwards.
Ah, that makes sense. I never worked that out.
Seems to be the only book the majority of people on the stage have read.
It's because they were all banned. Yeah. You know?
Full disclosure, haven't read Where's Wally. Dick, I just found it very repetitive after the first page. I feel like I've read this chapter before.
See, the problem is, Wally has a temper and he goes on a run, you see. And you just can't have that temper.
No, it's good. All right. That's beautiful. I feel after that, I think Sean gave the most answers.
Oh, so it's not even quality, just quantity.
Quantity. We just want quantity.
One thing I'm reliable for.
Quantity is always in comedy. So there was a thing that I did forget to do. I forgot to get you all to pick someone from the audience. So if you could just pick someone from the audience, you don't have to do it over the microphone. And that's fine. Everyone. Collective. Oh. So they're going to Ryan's show.
This is a complex thing, isn't it?
But you should check out Ryan's show. I know Michael's all done, but if you see his name on any open mic rooms, he's fantastic. Check out The Leak Season 3. That's his brainchild, even if he's not going to be in it.
Can I tell my... I auditioned for that, and there's no way I'm going to get it, though. Because I went in and they said, do you know about politics? And I said, oh, not really, which is a lie. And then they said, do you write? And I'm like, not really, even though I'm in the middle of a show that I'd just written. And I felt like on the way out, I was just meant to say, look, you can pick me, but there's some great guys out in the hallway.
Why did you lie to them?
I don't know. I didn't want to brag. And I was like, I'm not that good. I'm like, this is an audition. What the fuck am I doing? So, back to the bear suit.
And Sean runs a lovely room. When does your room run?
It's Thursdays at 7:30, about 100 metres that way, which will make loads of sense in the podcast.
Just people like walking
everywhere. It becomes a Where's Wally scene very fast. All right, thank you so much for coming out, guys. It's late on a Thursday. We're going to wrap it up, but you guys have been fantastic. This is the end of our festival run, but we might be back for Comedy Festival, so please come see us again.